I'm Mike McCurdy. The Bloomington Coliseum, for now still known as the U.S. Cellular Coliseum, is under new management. The Bloomington City Council unanimously approved a five-year contract about a month ago with the Ames, Iowa-based group Venue Works to manage the facility. The Coliseum has been controversial since the Bloomington Council moved forward on the facility in 2004 after a non-binding referendum indicated a 2-to-1 margin against building the Coliseum and issuing $35 million in bonds to pay for it. Curtis Webb is the new executive director of the arena. He's managed facilities across the country and says it's not unusual for some sort of controversy surrounding the arena and its level of government subsidy.
Taking aside the large venues, so the Cleveland and Dallas NBA, NHL buildings, taking aside all the tertiary market buildings like we have here, or like I had in Bemidji, Minnesota, or I was most recently, you still have controversy about, you know, the city building a building like this on the taxpayers' shoulders, and then people feeling like it should be self-sustaining. Most arenas of this size in secondary markets like Bloomington aren't never going to make money. Now, we have a chance in this building to do some good things. I will admit that. I can't commit to the fact that I know well enough the financials of this building yet, but we'll do some good things here and make this building stand out. And I think that'll be through economic impact and what we can bring to the community.
What's your charge from the city of Bloomington? Is it to break even? Is it to make money? Is it to just lower the operating deficit?
You know, there hasn't been necessarily a true, you know, financial charge statement yet by the city. I think for the most part, I think, you know, we want to decrease the deficit at this point and run an effective operation and be a good public steward of funds. And I think, you know, from our standpoint, if we be transparent to the community, I think that'll be a big aspect for us.
You mentioned Bemidji. You most recently managed the Sanford Center in that community. According to the Bemidji Pioneer newspaper, 2015 was that facility's best year on record in terms of its finances. What were you up against there, and what did you do to lower the operating deficit?
You know, there we're up against a lot of it's geographic. Two things, geographic, and then also one of the more poor, it's the second poorest county in the state of Minnesota. It's geographically far north from anything. It's not necessarily on the beaten path. No interstate system up there, that type of thing. So getting artists on the touring side to come up was a challenge. But when you got them there, it was great. Our community supported the building. But the idea for us is we want to manage things effectively. So on the expenses side of the budget, we want to manage effectively, as well as increase the exposure of events, bring in more diversity of events, and always drive more. So I think for us, decreasing the deficit in Bemidji was based on understanding what the building could and could not do, and also driving more events.
What role does geography play in Bloomington, in Illinois geography play with the success or failure of the Bloomington Coliseum? You're on three interstates.
Yeah, I've got no excuse from a geography standpoint. And the truth is we are really situated very nice, like you said, coming on three interstates here, as well as Venue Works Corporate. We have a building in Evansville, Indiana, and one in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. All about the same. The Ford Center in Evansville is a little larger, but we can certainly route shows to three buildings, and we're doing that.
Is there an economy of scale with Venue Works? Do the facilities all work together in terms of booking?
Yeah, I would say economies of scale are there. There's other companies that have that as well. But for sure in this market, between Evansville and Cedar Rapids, we are primed very nicely. And again, I mean, geography-wise, we're really kind of the heart of it all, and things route through here a lot.
There's a perception of mismanagement with this facility and that this facility needs to be turned around. Is that what brought you to Bloomington? Is that sort of what you've done with Venue Works at other facilities?
Well, a couple things brought me here, and I'll say it simply, is I have a daughter who lives outside of Cleveland, Ohio, and this gets me about 5.5 hours away from her. So the ability to get home to see her in events and things like that, that's probably the number one thing for me. I was looking for a new challenge with VenueWorks, and this community really, really touched me. I came down here for our pitch to the city. I felt like the city was very, very positive about things. They just wanted to see change, and they want to see positive change. And we're going to give them the transparency, you know, that people are asking for.
And what do you see your role or the role of VenueWorks in the community? How closely must you or the management company be involved in the community for this facility to be successful?
Well, I think if we're really successful, you will forget who VenueWorks is, and you want it to be known as a city-owned facility, you know, taxpayers-owned facility. Myself, I'm involved already with Rotary. I've been involved with Rotary other places. I'll be a staple in the community, and I want people to be able to call on me. I put my cell phone number on business cards. I do all that because I want people to be able to get a hold of me. I'm just a guy trying to do a good job, just like anybody else does in their career path.
You talked about this being a taxpayer-supported facility. What do you think? Is it okay for municipalities to subsidize these kinds of quality of life amenities?
I do think it's something you look at in a community. It's phenomenal. I mean, we're pretty blessed between Bloomington and Normal, all the amenities we do have as a community. The U.S. Cellular Center or U.S. Cellular Coliseum is a perfect example of what could be something great. And I do not know the economic impact numbers as I sit here, but I would tell you they're probably pretty substantial, because I can tell you in Bemidji, we did about $24 million in economic impact. I had to assume this building's done even more than that. So when you look at what this does bring to the community and what it brings to downtown, Jehovah's Witness Conference is a perfect example. They come here for 3 days over two separate weekends. Hotels are packed, they're eating in our restaurants, and that's a good thing for our community.
That's Curtis Webb, Executive Director of the U.S. Cellular Coliseum. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is Sound Ideas. You were working in conjunction with a convention center in Bemidji. You mentioned the Jehovah Witnesses conference that was held at the U.S. Cellular Coliseum just a few weeks ago. What sort of opportunity does a convention center or an adjacent or nearby hotel provide an arena?
Well, I know it's certainly a hotbed topic right now here in the community, and I think it can only go to help what we're doing. It gives us the ability to do multiple events, and generally in the convention business, you're slow in the winter months when you're busier in the summer months, especially in this neck of the woods. It's the opposite of the arena, so it keeps staff busy throughout the whole entire year, as well as you're talking about economies of scale. You can utilize the same people doing multiple jobs, and usually brings that economic spinoff. And you want to support the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and you want to make sure they're successful. And if everybody's doing their jobs right, the hoteliers are busy, restaurants are busy, people are buying gas at our gas stations, all that.
So a downtown hotel and conference center would certainly work in tandem or work well with the arena.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What do you think of the Coliseum's current placement in downtown? We talked about Bloomington Normal's place in Illinois and the Coliseum sort of in Illinois geography. What about the geography of downtown? It sort of seems like it's on an island.
Yeah, I would say it has been that way. And I think a lot of it comes down to, we're trying to create a better parking atmosphere so people don't have maybe the anxiety of coming down and trying to figure out where to park, all that. But it is where it is, and you can't rest on your laurels. You got to go after it and get that ball rolling and change people's perceptions of what they're coming to. And I think that's one of the things you'll see this summer is we're really working hard to clean the building, just get the public to be invited back into their own building.
Tell me about striking a balance between artist bookings, their fees, and ticket sales, putting people in seats. I know in Bemidji you had a couple of big shows that sort of helped the operating deficit. Where's the balance between booking artists to drive ticket sales and then the cost to bring in those artists? Because the more popular the artist, the more expensive they are to bring in.
Yeah, well, I think what you'll see with VenueWorks coming in, we won't buy as many shows, just flat out buy them. And then you're right, that becomes a rolling of the dice, and you're over. If it's a $100,000 artist, it's going to take $150,000 in ticket sales to start making money. We're going to work with local promoters, regional promoters, Live Nation, AEG. We're going to work with all those folks to bring in shows here. So we're not really risking the money up front like a promoter would. The other side of that coin is you have the promoters who come in and help risk the money, but the other side of it is cash flow. We can't be out that $100,000 before we start making that money back. It's really tough on the business model. So we're very cognizant of the fact that, one, we're going to be good public stewards of money, and we want, if we do get into a riskful situation, we'll get the city's approval on it. There won't be no surprises or hidden agenda about what we're trying to accomplish.
Are the bookings handled locally, or sometimes does VenueWorks say, this artist you're going to play, A, B, C, and D VenueWorks arenas?
Well, it's all handled locally, and myself and a couple other folks in the office right now currently do all the booking. However, VenueWorks does route a few artists here and there, and they'll act as a promoter on our behalf, which is nice. But they will try to block book an artist into several buildings, and that'll work, especially in our market with Evansville down the road and Cedar Rapids down the road.
There's been discussion in the community of either working with or even merging the booking of the Coliseum with the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts to complement or at least not have the two city-owned facilities, not compete. Will people notice a change in the type of bookings? Any plans to work with the BCPA?
That's actually a great question. And Tina and I have already talked and met about this. And that is one thing.
Tina Salamone is the director of the BCPA.
She's wonderful. She does such an amazing job there. And our game plan right now is not to book on top of each other. I think from time to time it's going to happen. But The idea is to communicate before we book anything. We don't want to be putting something on the same night they're putting something on. And again, you're right. At the end of the day, the money's going to the same pot. So we've got to be careful not to step on each other's toes. And again, I've already seen an amazing step on their part. I've toured their facility. It's an amazing facility. I mean, it really is. And she does a wonderful job. And her staff does a great job.
As you mentioned, some of the facilities you've managed also book sports and entertainment. What do sports bring to a facility like Bloomington's arena? Is it a dependable foundation? Does it provide that kind of financial base? And how much is that driven by whether the teams are losing or winning?
You know, it really comes down to how many people buy tickets to their event. You know, I'm not very good at, I've never been a hockey coach or an indoor football coach, but, you know, it really comes down to, you know, the contracts and the deals. But in our scenario here, we really need more people to come out and support those teams. Last year, it was, I would say, with the, for instance, the Thunder, I saw the very last few games of the year. Talented kids. I mean, they really are. These kids are number one draft picks. I think somebody said every kid on that team got a college scholarship. That's pretty remarkable. And, you know, if we can get more people to come down and enjoy the experience, that'll help everybody. The pie grow larger, including the building, who's going to make our money off ticket fees and food and beverage specifically.
I mean, it's a regular sort of regular occurring event. So does that provide sort of a financial base?
It absolutely does. Yeah. And I mean, it's very tough, difficult to do it without it. And you need those guys to do it. And I just hope that, you know, down the road that people will start to look at these teams and go, oh, they're in our backyard. We should come out and check them out.
You talked about cleaning the facility. What kind of shape is it in? And we can talk about the physical structure and maybe some of the things you'd like to change about the arena itself.
Well, I think you'll see some remarkable changes before the fall hits. When I first walked into the building, quite honestly, it's a 10-year-old building. It looked like it was about 30 years old. And we have taken a big approach on we just got to clean it. You know, from the moment you walk onto the concourse, it should be clean, sparkling. You shouldn't go into a bathroom, see dirty sinks, dirty toilets. We want people to know that it's been clean prior to their event. And we've hired some staff that will do a great job that are used to doing that kind of work. Additionally, some of the things you'll see going forward into the fall, our bar restaurant area, it's called the Club Lounge at this point. I don't know what it'll be called yet, but we're looking at spending some significant money to redo that whole entire space. And then the area is called the Bud Light Lounge currently. We're working with Anheuser-Busch to just redo it, bring a fresh new look to it, maybe new flooring, new paint, new concession stands, all that. So you'll see some of that change before the hockey season really hits.
Besides cleaning it, were there some other things that were sort of causing that facility to age more quickly than its 10-year actual age?
You know, I don't know about you. You could say that mechanically, you know, where it sits mechanically, but the city has been wonderful and they have the expertise on the mechanical maintenance side to do that work. And they're in there doing that work now. So, and it's more of an ongoing meeting. It's preventative at this point, which is great because you don't want to be reactive. You want to be preventative. And the city's done a really good job taking that over. And it looks like they'll continue to do that aspect of the operation. So,
as customers hit the front door, what about that experience? Access to ATMs or getting through the facility, that kind of thing?
Well, I tell you what, my first show there was I Love the 90s, and it was not one I was proud of. A couple things, long concession lines, and the other thing was just physically getting through the concourse. And what I realized is the placement of things like concert merchandise and beer portables and things like that, they're bottlenecking our concourse. So from a safety standpoint, from a fire marshal standpoint, we need to open up those concourses, get them free flowing so people can move and, you know, actively move through the concourse. And I didn't see that. I Love the 90s. So we made some immediate changes for Rob Zombie in Boston that we will continue to make. And we will continue to see how that flow is. Keith Urban's coming up with 7,300 people coming. Well, that's going to
Is that a sold out house?
Yeah, sold out. Yeah. So we need to.
The facility holds 77, right? But
yeah.
you're not using the whole thing because the stage sits
out a little bit. But we need to continue to work on the flow of the crowd, make sure it's safe. And yeah, I mean, now you'll be able to get in. You'll have ATMs and all that kind of stuff.
What about that big blue U.S. Cellular Coliseum sign on the outside of the building? What's the process for finding an entity interested in naming rights?
That's a great question. Again, we're working currently. We just went through a whole entire study on what the naming rights portion is worth and value to what the value is to a company by putting their name on the building. We're putting together a proposal. We've earmarked with the city about 14 companies locally we'd like to start the conversations with. That's going to take a little while to do. It's not that it'll just happen overnight. In fact, we're planning on trying to get this done all by the month of October. And that is, I think, a realistic time frame. And once that naming rights piece happens, the dominoes will fall. I mean, it'll be consistent. There'll be a lot of things to change from the exterior signage to interior signage.
Curtis Webb is the executive director of the U.S. Cellular Coliseum. He says in a year, VenueWorks will have a report on the economic impact of the arena on the community. He also says security will be beefed up, saying attacks like the one on a performance venue in Paris last fall can happen anywhere. It's Sound Ideas.